We've been talking about people smart in ministry, and we're going to wrap up now just some of those techniques and suggestions and ideas that help you go deeper and get better and better at your people smart skills in ministry. I'm going to be taking the next three presentations from Lyle Lowndes' book, How to Talk to Anyone, 93 Little Tricks for Big Success in Relationships. Now, I'm going to pick some out of this book, and I'm leaving others. What I want to do is pick those suggestions and tips that help you take what you've learned so far and pull it all together. Some of these things we've already talked about, but I like how Lyle reposition some of this, helps you think about it a little bit differently, so that you sort of wrap up this discussion about listening and talking and body language. So we're going to now talk about many, many techniques pulling together much of what we've been talking about. The first one that Lyle talks about is the flooding smile. Don't flash an immediate smile when you see someone as though anyone who walks into your line of sight would be the beneficiary. Instead, look at the other person's face for a second. Pause. Soak in the persona. Then let a big, warm, responsive smile flood over your face and overflow your eyes. It will engulf the recipient like a warm wave. That split-second delay convinces people your flooding smile is genuine and only for them. Now, in his illustration, I want to talk about something we're going to see throughout this entire book. Sort of like you do the flooding smile to get something. You're trying to manipulate someone. We are not going to read this book that way. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about these principles because in some ways, timing in a funny joke is very important, and you know, somebody who's humorous has good timing. The same thing about smiling. To smile at everybody all the time, people say that's just a smiley person, and it really doesn't mean that much because that person smiles at everybody. But to have a smile that's sort of very focused and in a sense is directed at someone is very important. So a flooding smile with a little bit of timing is a good thing as you show your love to someone else. That's the other point. Why do we do all this people skills discussion, people smart, is because we really want to love someone. We don't want to win a race. We don't want to get something in return. We want to love people and get ourselves out of the way. Find those things in ourselves that hold us back. Be humble enough to say, you know, in general, this is how people communicate, and I want to know how people communicate so I can love them more. If you're in ministry because you want to get something, if you're taking these people smart techniques seriously only because you want to gain financially, you want to somehow manipulate or control, really, please just leave Christian Leaders Institute. This is not what we're here for. So when we read books from the general population about techniques and that's the big downside is you can say, hey, I'm doing this for this. But in this class, I just want to remind us all, it is about loving our neighbor. It's about ministering to those. So that first one is the loving, flooding smile. So I put that word loving, flooding smile in there. Next, let's talk about sticky eyes. And a lot of times, people struggle with their eye contact. And this technique just helps you to overcome some of that struggle. Pretend your eyes are glued to your conversation partner with sticky, warm taffy. Don't break eye contact even after he or she has finished speaking. When you must look away, do it ever so slowly, reluctantly, stretching the gooey taffy until the tiny string finally breaks. See, eye contact, the real essence of this is fast eye contact, you know, things that are quick. And no, you want to just sort of relax your eyes and, as he calls them, sticky eyes. Here's another one. Hello, old friend. When meeting someone, imagine he or she is an old friend, an old customer, an old beloved, or someone else you've had great affection for. How sad the vicissitudes of life tore you two asunder. But wow, now the party, the meeting, the conversation has reunited you and your long-lost friend. The joyful experience starts a remarkable change. You amaze yourself. The delight of rediscovery fills your face and buoys your body language. I sometimes jokingly say that if you were a light, you'd beam on the other person. If you were a dog, you'd be wagging your tail. You'd make the new person feel very special indeed. We have a poodle named Flynn. He's just a little toy poodle. And without fail, every day, it's, "Hello, old friend." And he comes jumping up to our bed in the morning to greet us. And I come walking in the door. You know, he wags his tail and even bends his back a little bit. Sometimes he puts a ball in his mouth because he wants to communicate, "I am so glad to meet you." If that's our attitude in ministry, that everybody who comes to us, we are, "Hello, old friend. We are so glad that you are in our life." And we have this, bring the energy of love to everybody that we know. That is a powerful people smart technique, you can call it. But, you know, to me, and I go back to my problem with techniques, this is not some technique. This is how we ought to be anyway, to love our neighbor. But the technique is to get your heart and mind in actions to go forward. So how best to do that? The technique is think of an old friend, someone you haven't seen, and then apply that to everybody, that everybody you see or new people you see, you have that certain characteristic of, "I am glad to see you." Next, limit the fidget. Whenever your conversation really counts, let your nose itch, your ears tingle, or your foot prickle. Don't fidget, twitch, wiggle, squirm, scratch, and above all, keep your paws away from your puss. That is, don't go like this. Hand motions near your face and all fidgeting can give your listener the gut feeling you're fibbing. So, when a conversation really counts, be very careful about the fidget. In fact, limit it. Learn how to put your hands down. Learn how to not to rub your face. Look down and fidget, because it will communicate that you are not telling the truth. Limit the fidget. Next, watch the scene before you make the scene. What this is about is rehearse being the super somebody you want to be ahead of time. Okay, so you're saying, you know, you have a ministry opportunity. Maybe you're going for a ministry interview, or maybe as a minister, you want to be your best. Okay, so you want to be that super somebody, as Lyle talks about. See yourself smiling the flooding smile, making the sticky eyes. Hear yourself chatting comfortably with everyone. Feel the pleasure of knowing you are in peak form and everyone is gravitating toward you, you know, in a very God-honoring way. Visualize yourself a super somebody. Then it all happens automatically. And practice this. Visualize it, practice it, go through your mind. You know, we talk about soccer or football, as it's called throughout the world. Can you imagine the World Cup being played and the players didn't practice? Relational connections are that which need to be practiced as well. To comfort us all, remember this very important thing. First words aren't as important. Worried about your first words? Fear not. because 80% of your listeners' impressions has nothing to do with your words anyway. Almost anything you can say at first is fine, no matter how Prozac the text, as it's talked about often, an empathetic mood, a positive demeanor, and a passionate delivery make you sound exciting. So as hello old friend type of attitude, and you come forward, and even if you don't say everything that great, it doesn't matter. Your words are not the key indicators. Okay, so we're talking to people, and maybe you meet someone new. Whenever someone asks you the inevitable, and where are you from? Never, ever unfairly challenge their powers of imagination with a one-word answer. I'm from Delavan. Learn some engaging fact about your hometown and that your conversational partner can comment on. Hi, I'm Henry Reinga. I'm from Delavan, Wisconsin, the 19th century circus capital of the world. Then they say something clever in response to your bait. They think you're a great conversationalist. See, you know, again, the word bait, you're not baiting someone's conversation. What if I were to write this book, I would say, then when they hear, oh, the circus capital of the world, and that sounds interesting to them, they said, so were there a lot of circuses in your town? And you can then continue on the conversation. But the technique is this, never the city alone. So if someone asks you, find some things, or, you know, somebody may ask, where do you live now? Oh, I live in Grand Haven, Michigan. And let's say it's with some ministers. Do you know that Grand Haven, Michigan was founded by a minister, a reverend, a Presbyterian minister in 1834? Oh, really? See, there's conversations that even though you say the city, Grand Haven, where I live right now, my hometown was Delavan, Wisconsin, my town now is Grand Haven, what's one extra line that you can throw in there, just a little quip? Never the job alone. When asked the inevitable, and what do? You may think, I'm an economist, I'm an educator, I'm an engineer, is giving enough information to engender good conversation. However, to one who is not an economist, an educator, or an engineer, you might as well be saying is, I'm a paleontologist, a psychoanalyst, and a pornographer. Flesh it out. Throw out some delicious fact about your job or new acquaintance to munch on. Otherwise, they'll soon excuse themselves pretending to snack back at the cheese tray, is how Lyle puts it. In other words, it's like, it's better to say things like, you know, hi, I'm Henry Reinga. I'm the president of Christian Leaders Institute, which does high-quality ministry training. Or I'm into educating the nations for God. See, that's it's sort of like, oh, well, how does that work? More and more, you want to sort of add that little extra that is there that just might create a little bit of a hook for more conversation and make it very practical. Introduce people with a hook is the next technique. When introducing people, don't throw out an unbaited hook, as Lyle puts it, and stand there grinning like a big clam. Leave the newly mets to flutter their fins and fish for a topic. Bait the conversational hook to get them in the swim of things. Then you're free to stay or float on the next networking opportunity. So when you introduce somebody, you say, hi, this is Dave. And Dave just finished a class about ethics at Christian Leaders Institute. Oh, by the way, he's the provost. Oh, ethics. See, the point being is you can when you introduce someone, introduce them in a way that creates conversation. Now, you say, well, why is that people smart for you? No, it's people smart in general. Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. In the measure that you give, it will come back into your own lap. And you want to have that kind of generosity in your people smart in ministry skills. Next, be a word detective. Like a good gumshoe, this is a detective. Listen to your conversation partner's every word for clues to his or her preferred topic. The evidence is bound to slip out. Then spring on that subject like a sleuth on the slip of the tongue. Like Sherlock Holmes, you have a clue to the subject that's hot for the other person. Now, the way Lyle puts it is so creative and so engaging. So in other words, whenever you're talking to someone, you're looking for opportunity to engage and get to know someone and find out who they are. And part of it is just listening like a detective. The swiveling spotlight. When you meet someone, imagine a giant revolving spotlight around you. When you're talking, the spotlight is on you. When the new person is speaking, it's shining on him or her. If you shine it brightly enough, the stranger will be blinded to the fact that you have hardly said a word about yourself. The longer you keep it shining away from you, the more interesting he or she finds you. Think about that. When you meet someone, get the spotlight of love and engagement, listening, and keep it on that person. Let them keep talking. Let them keep being on the stage. And the more that they are on the stage, the more they will see that love that you have toward them. Parity. Never be left speechless again. Like a parrot, simply repeat the last few words of your conversation partner, what they say. Then put the ball right back into his or her court. Then all you need to do is listen. And when you parrot, as this is a technique in people skills, do not be like boring. Do not have your body language like, you know, I'm just doing some technique and I'm so bored. No, it's like you're alive and you're alert and in your heart you actually do love them and you want to hear who they are. So when you repeat the words, it's not just merely some technique. It's about engaging, finding out who the other person is. Shining the spotlight. Whenever you're at a meeting or a party with someone important to you, think of some stories he or she has told you. Choose an appropriate one from their repertoire that the crowd will enjoy. Then shine the spotlight by asking for a repeat performance. I mean, this is a fun way to do it. It's like, so you have a friend and you're basically helping the friend get connected. So yeah, hi, this is Melvin. And Melvin just won the mayor by 2 votes. Or actually, it wasn't just one. It was several years ago. Melvin, how did that work out? 2 votes, you won the mayor of my hometown of Delavan. So now all of a sudden, Melvin talks about it, and there's a little laugh about it. And now he's been mayor for a long time. So these are the types of stories. Shine the spotlight on someone else. You know, these people smart techniques are very important. Jesus once said to be able to use worldly wisdom to win friends. And in the end, that's what we're seeking to do. We're seeking to be friends with God's creation, but in such a way that we can be about the gospel, to be about proclaiming Christ. And we do not want personality idiosyncrasies or ways that we're dealing with people to call attention to ourselves and to have bad habits that tell someone that we don't care about them. So these techniques, this is part one, we're going to do with part two and part three of techniques that will help you pull together these various things that we've been talking about in this People Smart for Ministry class.